Hey everyone, and welcome to the Four Pillar Podcast. Today I have got the Eat, Lift, Lose guys on. So it's going to be an epic podcast. This is actually the second guest podcast that I've done. So this is going to be an interesting one. Normally you just hear me rambling on about here, there and everything. However, this time you get the joys of listening to two guys who possibly know more than me. And also are going to be a lot more fun than I am as well. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let them introduce themselves and a little bit about what they do as well. So first off, Chris, take it away, buddy. Who are you? What do you do?
Yeah, Chris, where do we want to start? I guess being a PT for just under a year now. And started up Eat, Lift, Lose with Brad, who will introduce himself in a second. I mainly work with people on a group basis in our boot camp, and then also do some PT on a one-to-one basis as well. So that's me in a very short nutshell. I'm sure you don't want to hear the other 27 years of my life.
I'm sure they do.
No, we don't.
We don't. I promise you, we don't. Oh, well, there we go. That set the tone of the podcast already.
And Brad?
All right, shall I introduce myself now?
Yeah, go for it.
So I'm Brad. Where do I start? So I've been a PT for about 4 or 5 years now. Mm-hmm. Started off working as with one-on-ones, and I still do. So still working on one-on-ones, and then found Chris last year, and now we are running Eat, Lift, Lose together. So as Chris said, that's a group basis, and we essentially just help predominantly women, mums who are looking to get in shape and lose some weight. And client wise my ones, I have a kind of wide range of clients, male and female, just looking to get in shape really. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. I don't think there's much to add to that. My life's quite boring, to be fair.
no fun stuff or anything like that.
maybe we can delve into that. I'll tell you what though, before we get into the podcast, mm-hmm. this is what you call three guys one podcast.
Oh god, here we go. Here comes the dad jokes.
Less than 5 minutes in and it's cracking the dad jokes out.
It is literally 2 minutes 42 seconds already coming out.
There you go. That's something to add to the list. I have wicked, don't listen to what these guys say, I have wicked dad jokes.
It's all going to come out in this podcast then.
It will, don't worry.
So of course you just said basically you run, you do the one-to-one and you do, and I heard you say actually that you kind of found Chris. Where did you find him?
Like a lost puppy.
Yeah, found him in a little cardboard box on the street corner. So I picked him up and adopted him.
Under your wing.
Yeah, how did you guys meet?
So, it's a bit of a weird one. We actually met through a podcast, as weird as it sounds.
Okay.
Yeah, so we both did the Body Type Nutrition Academy. Yeah. And I think we pretty much did it at the same time. So but I know Chris took some time off. He was away exploring India. And then I started listening to... So one of the coaches that left BTN, Daniel Meek, he left and he started doing a podcast with a guy called Tom Hall. And I started listening to the podcast. And then I started training with... Tom, and Tom was like, oh, I met up with Chris, he come and like, you know, had a chat with me. And then I in the community group, I posted it and we was looking for a PT just to fill in some gaps over at the gym. So then Chris popped up and then Chris was like, hey, like, do you want to do something together? And yeah, that's pretty much how it happened. So, but we kind of reached through the podcast essentially because we were both listening to the podcast. I introduced Chris into the podcast because I left it as a recommendation, and it kind of kicked from there really, isn't it?
And it all went downhill from there.
Yeah, our lives were good before we found each other.
I'm not getting in way of divorcing or anything like that.
You can join if you want.
I'm hired, I'm in, let's do this.
Does that mean I'm fired? Shit.
I was fired this morning.
See you later.
Chris fired me this morning. Now I'm firing Chris. So yeah, that's how yeah, and essentially how we lift lose come about.
Yeah, how did
was,
that come about?
I think I was chatting to Chris about considering running a boot camp in the local area, and he was like, "Oh, that'd be quite cool." And then he just approached me. He was like, "Are you still doing that boot camp?" And I was like, "I'm thinking about it." And he goes, "Well, let's do it together." And so we started it off, and we just thought, fuck it, let's do it. So we literally, I remember being at the gym, we wrote a load of words down, trying to figure out a name on a mirror. So we managed, that's how we came across our name. And yeah, and then we just started from there. We started off initially running a small group training.
Okay.
Weight loss challenge.
Yeah.
So we just did a, how long was it? 4 week, wasn't it?
It's either 4 or 5 weeks we did it. And it was free for anyone to take part in. It had a few things like they put down deposit just to make sure that they're committed to it. But other than that, everything was entirely free.
And that, did you have quite a few people jump on to that?
About 10 people.
To be fair, that's quite a lot.
Yeah, it was about 10 people, wasn't it?
How did you find... Cause
just under, I think. Yeah.
Did you also do one-to-one as well, Chris? Or is this just kind of you went straight into the group training?
A bit of both. I think I guess they kind of started at the same time, like one-to-one and group started at the same time, both when I was leaving my other job.
Okay.
Kind of like transitioning careers, so to speak.
Yeah. And because I don't know about you guys, for me, I mainly only do one-to-one. As soon as you put me into a group setting, my mind goes berserk. I can't keep up with it. I'm like all over the place. How do you find one-to-one compared to group training?
I think they're both similar but different at the same time.
Okay.
Like, there's similarities between them.
Yeah.
You're, at the end of the day, trying to get people fitter, healthier, and enjoy better lives. But there's definitely differences. Like, you've got a team atmosphere, so everyone can kind of vibe off each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of got to watch more people as you're coaching more people.
Yeah.
But there's loads of things that we do just to make the coaching side of it easier in a group setting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't get 10 people doing 10 different exercises at the same time. It just wouldn't work for us anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What are your thoughts on it, Brad, in terms of the differences?
See, like, for some people, I don't know about, I don't know how Chris has found it, but I suppose Chris went in it at the same time, whereas I started off with group training.
Yeah.
Initially, when I first got into PT, and then I went into one-on-ones, and then while I've been doing that, I've been doing some group stuff. So for me, I'm pretty used to both of them, but essentially, like, it is like you literally have to change hats, essentially. So you have, you know, two different hats. And the foundations of it, just as Chris said, is the same. You're still trying to help people lose weight and get in shape. But, you know, you treat them a little bit differently in a sense of, like, for example, if I'm working with a one-on-one client, I'll have some personal conversations. You know, we're chatting throughout the whole hour. They're on a one-to-one basis. You know, they're checking it. Their check-ins are differently. You have to think about more stuff, you know. Look, and that doesn't mean that you don't think about other stuff when you do group, but you know, you've got to focus a little bit more on their personalized program than you do as a group. You know, the group, you're still personalizing it, but you group personalizing it as a couple of people, you know. And then essentially when it comes to the group training, like, I find that it allows you to kind of, it's really weird because when we're working together, like, we clash in terms of our personalities, like, they go together.
Okay.
Like, they're two different personalities, but they go together really, really well.
Yeah.
And so that allows you to kind of just kind of be a free person, essentially. Like, you know, you can still do that on one-on-ones, but it's just a little bit different. The atmosphere is different. you bounce off the clients and the clients bounce off you. And yeah. But they also bounce off each other. So you kind of set that vibe and everyone bounces each other. Whereas when you're in a one-to-one, you have to kind of judge how your client is.
Yeah.
Like if they're coming in feeling tired, the last thing they want is like, come on, let's go. Whoop, whoop, whoop. And they're like, fuck off. I've just got in from work. Like, I don't want to do that. Whereas when we're group training, that's the vibe we kind of bring, and that's the vibe people expect. It's like, come on, let's go, let's push it, let's smash it. But you know, if there's a day where, like, we had a, you know, like 2-3 weeks ago, it was really hot one evening, and everyone looked exhausted, so we just toned it down a little bit. But we still had a laugh, you know. Mm-hmm. So it is good, and I think it's really good because we were talking about this morning. About how maybe we'd look at doing some online group coaching. Mm-hmm. And I said to Chris, I don't know if I want to do it because I thoroughly enjoy speaking to the guys on a Tuesday, Thursday evening and a Saturday morning. Like sometimes you're like, oh fuck, I've got to go boot camp. And like, you know, it's just anything, like you've got work to do, right?
Yep.
But when you're there, it's really good fun. You know, you bounce 100%. Off any... It's you're bouncing off everyone's vibes. I look forward to seeing it, and also look forward to seeing them, you know, like taking a step back and watching them
mm-hmm.
mingle. Like we've helped them make new friends.
Yeah.
So it's not always just about helping getting in shape. You know, we had quite a busy session, like 2 weeks, like we had an extra 2 or 3 extra people than we usually would. And we had a lot to do, and everyone was just integrating into their own conversation. We couldn't even get them out of their own conversation.
Like, yeah.
Come on, guys, let's go.
I have to pull them up to get started.
Yeah, it's like 10 minutes past the starting time, and they're still chatting about like what gin they're drinking on the weekend.
So it creates a community, right? And that's the good thing about group training.
Yeah.
Community.
Yeah.
That's the big thing.
And... it's interesting because I actually had another question, but I'll quickly want to touch on something just because you brought it up. And it was in terms of what's your opinion? I know we're not business people, we are fitness people sort of thing. But what's your opinion at the moment about everyone going from, you know, I'm creating an ebook. We put, you know, they all know that who have come on and listen to the podcast. But is trainers completely forgetting now about their face-to-face PT, whether that's group, one-to-one, whatever it is, and just going completely online? What are your thoughts?
You can go first, Chris.
Yeah. So for me, like, it's just do what you want and do what you enjoy.
Yeah.
But having said that, and I think you probably want to have at least some experience going in person before you even think about looking online.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much real life experience that you don't get just from saying you're a qualified personal trainer going straight online. Like, I don't think it's a really good move to do.
Yeah.
If you do want to go fully online, then by all means go fully online. But just like Brad mentioned already, I don't think I'd ever want to do that because I enjoy the face-to-face interaction. I enjoy kind of working and seeing people. Like, that's one of the reasons why I enjoy being a PT. And mm-hmm. for me, you just don't get that as online. You might check in with them once a week over Skype or whatever. I don't do any online training, so I don't know how. But doing the group stuff in person and doing the one-to-one stuff in person is where you get to build real proper relationships with people. You see them week in, week out. So yeah, for me, I wouldn't never do 100% online. Never. It just doesn't make sense for me. For some people, it will. If it fits their lifestyle as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, not for me.
Yeah, I agree. Going online is a complete different lifestyle for you. Like, I know a few trainers have gone all online, and they do, most of them do say, I miss the PT side of things. Like, I always find if I have a day off, and I don't mean like, I mean just not in the gym one day, I get so fucking bored. It's unreal.
So true.
Like,
yeah.
I get so bored. I'm just sitting there going, imagine doing this every day.
Like being behind a laptop.
Yeah, being behind a laptop and just not training any one-to-one PTs. Like, I get excited when I go and see my PT clients and I'm getting them results. And like, I know we all say it, like, you know, don't like people. But I think it all depends on what type of situation that is. Like, sometimes I don't want to see anyone. Like, I hate people at times. But that's different to training your clients because you've got a relationship with them. Like, you know, you can kind of go in and I find that sometimes I de-stress a little bit when I have my PT clients because I'm forgetting about what's going on in the outside world, and I've just got my kind of PT hat on. I'm going, right, let's just train. And, you know, again, some people don't agree with this, but, you know, you can still offload your own shit to your clients, essentially, because you're going to pick that conversation up, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah, like, been busy, blah, 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 this is a bit shit. And some people are like, oh, you know, you shouldn't do that, they're here. But I'm just like, do you know what? It's about building a relationship. Again, but back to the question you said, pit one line, I'm just like, what makes you happy? Mm-hmm. But you need to realize if you go online, you got to have some PT experience. And I'm not talking like a couple of months. I'm talking like a year or two. Understand different people. Yeah. You know? Like, I remember having an online client. I just delved into some online coaching. And I had two. One lady, it worked really fucking well for her. She got the most amazing results she's ever got. And we worked for like couple of months together. Mm-hmm. And but I used to see her now and again in the gym, so she trained at the gym as well, so we worked together in that essentially. But yeah, she got some amazing results, and like, whereas my other client didn't. And but again, when you chat to those clients and you do a Skype call or whatever, you do get a little bit like, are they telling you everything?
Yeah,
and you don't get to pick that up. You'll never pick that up online, like, because they can. We can sit here, and as far as you know, behind the other side of the screen, you know, as soon as I log off, you might think I'm living my life all well and good, but you know, I could be turning off and fucking feeling shit. Like, that's but that's what happens. Whereas when you've got a one-on-one client, you can pick it up because you pick up their body. Like, if I know when clients have got shit on their mind, you can just tell that any energy levels are different. They're not as enthusiastic. Like, it's a different ball game. You can't pick it up from an hour's Skype call. No way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of my opinion on online training. Is you do it if you want to. It's good fun. It's a good little earner in the background.
Yeah.
But me personally, I don't think I'll ever go into it. Like, I remember when I first ever wanted to be a PT, my thing was to just train people all the time, talk to people and get results, but in person.
Yeah, no, totally get it. I think for me, like, of course, like I said, creating the ebook, I think it's more for me is to create that extra revenue stream for people to come on. I understand people sometimes can't afford PT. I don't run group PT purely because for me, my head explodes because there's too many things going on. I'm just like, oh my Jesus Christ, what is that? What is that? What's going on?
Yeah.
It boggles me. Of course, like we said, but with online PT, I can see where I can help, sort of thing. So that's, for me, my way for people to come into my world. But again, I would never possibly give it up for one-to-one because I love being there, adjusting things within the snap of my fingers, not, you know, a week later when they check in or something. That for me is, I love PT. But
what's quite interesting, just before you go, is you mentioned about your ebook, and I think that's great. But you know, a lot of online PTs feel like in PTs in general, you can only create an ebook if you're going online. Like, we've got an ebook, and the ebook is just there for people to get a little bit of information about what we do, and then that potentially can take them step on to go into like our free group. Like, we have a free online group.
Yeah.
But that there essentially is like a funnel system. So like, you know, it goes from the ebook, free group, boot camp, mm-hmm. and then from there it then can become one-on-one.
Exactly.
So that's kind of why we have it there.
Like, for me, the ebook is, like I said, for people that can't actually have me as a one-to-one PT, it's another way for them to have an in with me and to be able to still have contact with myself. Like, it's got a Facebook support group, the whole lot, and it gives them that part of, I still want to be there. I still want to help you. I don't want you to go away from this going, well, crap, I can't afford his PT. I'm still stuck where I am. Yeah. Well, hold up. Well, you don't have to be stuck. I can still help you for a fraction of the price. The one thing is it going to be generic? Yes. But again, that's why you've got the support group, because that's where we can play around with ideas and ensure that you are doing what you should be doing.
Yeah, of course.
And is that where you kind of, is that why you had the group training? Because it allows you to help more people? And
Essentially, yeah. It was there for a couple of reasons, probably. One is because we wanted to make more money per hour, like straight up. That's literally what it was.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get a membership building, we don't have to, I say don't worry, but yeah, we can just make more money per hour. The second reason is you can, yeah, help more people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think thirdly, also help build a community of people who are very like-minded, are very similar in their ways. Like, you come to our boot camp sessions and like three people stick out and they're exactly the same pretty much in their four people. And they're pretty much, they bounce off each other. Like, they're all talking about the same shit, laughing about the same things. And it's not one person going, oh, that's a bit weird. They're all looking at each other going, I know exactly what you mean. And laughing at it.
Yeah, always a good laugh.
And like, we take pride in what we know and what we say. So we know our PTs. Like, we're probably a little bit more expensive than the average PT in where we train. Mm-hmm. Like, just a little bit. And we know that it's quite expensive. So we want to be there and go, right, well, we want to give you a little bit of what we do.
Yeah.
But a little bit less, essentially, of that one-to-one, but you can afford it.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Still get results. Like, you still make progress. You'll still learn tons. Like, we've even got a Facebook group for the bootcamp guys, which we're posting daily. So they're still getting value outside of the bootcamp sessions. And they still kind of get some education along the way so they can make results. And there's loads of support outside of the sessions, which means that it's not just drop in, drop out, and see you later next week.
Yeah. And that's what we need. So that brings you on to my next question in terms of, if someone was to go after this podcast and go, I'm going to go join a boot camp or small group personal training, what should they be looking for?
Probably just exactly what I said, like something that's going to give them support outside of those boot camp sessions. Like, we run a membership because we don't just say you're going to turn up for an hour and we'll see you at the next session.
Mm-hmm.
We run a membership because you get so much outside of those sessions. You get workshops, you get recipes, you get nutrition support, you get check-ins. I think if a boot camp or small group training is pricing themselves as per session,
mm-hmm.
rather than monthly or by blocks or any other service like that, then maybe question why.
Yeah.
Is it just because you turn up to a session and see you later?
Yeah.
Like, those are great to get people active. They don't get me wrong at all, but you're only going to get maybe that 60 minute of training, which, as we know, 60 minutes of training twice a week, three times a week without changing anything else in your life,
mm-hmm.
is only going to get you results for so far and so long, because you might still be fucking up your diet,
yeah.
or you might still be lazy during the week. So that's one thing I'd look out for. Anything, Brad, that you'd look out for?
Chris said, I like to call our bootcamp players, we aren't the one night stand, we're the relationship that everyone is jealous of. You know, you're like, oh, you know, you got those couples, everyone's like, oh, they've got such a great relationship. That's what our bootcamp is, because we go beyond that 1 hour session. Like, I know PTs 100% that are charging per hour and that's all you get.
Yeah,
like, that is all. And I used to be there myself. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the only thing you get is, you know, you get an hour's training and that's it. And like, yeah, sometimes, like, it depends how far in the client is. Like, some clients I won't check in as often during the week, and I've got some clients who I check in with every day. But that, then they still got that same kind of service. Like, and it all depends where they are. So it's all well and good. Like, giving, like, so you might find that, for example, speak to one client and they're like, yeah, I speak to Brad once or twice a week,
mm-hmm.
but they're like 2 years in training with me and like in 10 times better shape than they were. Whereas I've got one client, two clients that I check in pretty much every day,
mm-hmm.
but they're quite new to training. So I'm always given that service. And so in terms of looking at a boot camp, look at someone who takes their time in their sessions,
mm-hmm.
like, I think we done a podcast on this And we were talking about like scary circuit class instructors.
Yeah.
Like there's a difference between an instructor, boot camp instructor, and a coach. Like we coach everyone, whether or not they can do an exercise or not. So if someone can't do an exercise, we're changing around. Like I've seen classes where you just got geezer at the top, headset on like this, going, right, we're going to squat 30 seconds. Let's go. Come on, fucking squat more, you bastards. Like that's literally what you see. Where, and then they're going home going, oh yeah, fucking great workout. 2 days later, like, oh, I'm not losing any weight. Well, no fucking shit you're not, because you're going to an hour's class talking to fucking Susie next to you while you're like imagining that you're punching a bag. Like, what's that going to do?
Yeah, nah, wait, exactly.
I just don't get it.
Exactly.
Whereas you need that attention. Like, we, again, like, just like online stuff, anyone can do online stuff, but I feel like you can't take someone who's new to the gym and put them through online training unless you're fucking... systemize your business to the point where you're doing a video and where they got their headphones in and it's like a fucking museum tour where you're going, right, now what I want you to do is slowly squat down, come back up. Like no one's gonna do that,
mm-hmm.
because that's not doable. So like again, it's like with the online stuff, you can't just go straight in it and expect to get brand new clients. Like you need to delve into clients who probably have 3-4 years of training but are just looking for that accountability. Again, like our group training, yeah, we have beginners, we have like, you know, people who've trained for a few years, but
mm-hmm.
so try and like trial a boot camp, see what it's like. If they don't give you any help then outside of it, then you may need to consider what you're paying for. Like if you're paying £5, like expect to get £5 worth of service. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
But we have a drop-in. Our drop-ins are a tenner. Now that's quite expensive for a drop-in, but during that hour we give some good value of our training. But then don't, like our Facebook group, we've had a few people that trialed it, we kick them out. Like, you know, like you need to know that you don't get this unless you pay. And it sounds like being a bit of a being like arseholes, but it's like, well, you know, you've got to pay for what you want. Like we then offer them our free group. So to wrap it up, look for something that gives you some good value in and out of the sessions,
mm-hmm.
that are coming round and addressing your exercises, not just doing a generic circuit class where one person's doing burpees, next person's doing Olympic lifts and about to crush their fucking skulls, and one person doing some spotted dog dicks and thinking about fucking spotted dick cake.
CrossFit.
Like, that's kind of what you need to look out and do.
So, what I heard you say as well, that majority of the people that you have to your boot camps is females, mums as well, wasn't it? Right.
Let's say
three tips each. What would you say they are struggling with, and then a tip for each one? So just three. Or you can go five. You can go 10 if you like.
Well, let's shoot from the hip. I'll go, you go. How about that?
There you go.
Yeah, go.
So number one, in no particular order,
mm-hmm.
Is looking at your activity levels outside of the sessions. Like, what are your, like your NEAT or your steps, so to speak, outside of sessions?
Mm-hmm.
And how can you do a few things to improve that? So like if you're averaging, say, 4K steps a day, try just for the next week or two just to get that up, bump it up even to 6 or 8K. Like you don't have to hit 10K. It's not a magical number.
Yep.
Bump up what you're doing already through different things, whether that's walking to the shops, whether that's parking your car further away, whether that's getting off the bus, whether that's going for a 15-minute walk at lunch. Do a few different activities a day which are going to help bump up your steps on a daily basis. So that's my number one.
Cool.
For me, an issue that I always see is time. Like, parents don't have time to train, but they think they have to be in the gym 5 times a week, training on the cardio machine, blowing out their fucking asses. That's not what you need to do. Like, I would say minimum 2 sessions a week with applying what Chris just said. So trying to get those steps in. Like, also that this correlates, maybe this would be my second point, is not to think of exercise as a form of burning calories. So yeah, you need to think of exercise as, you know, becoming healthier in every aspect of your life, you know, mentally and physically. So yeah, that's kind of like, just train when you can. Don't stress too much about if you can't, but find the time when, you know, like walking to work and from work, like there's no harm in just leaving 10 minutes earlier. And even like if you park, I don't know where everyone goes to a train or parks. So if you get a train, get off one stop before. Then you'll start to find that you have got the time to lose weight. And they say they don't have the time to lose weight because they're thinking, well, I have to go to the gym for an hour or 2 hours. Like, no, you don't have to do that. So that's my kind of tip, is think about where you can fit the time in, and it doesn't have to be going to the gym. You know, we do the boot camp, and we understand that people sometimes can't come because of childcare, but we're not saying to everyone, you have to come 4 times, 3 times, you know, 5 times a week. We're saying, just come when you can, but here's some extra help outside so you can fit around. Hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah.
Probably another issue that I find a lot of people have is thinking that when they're starting something new or like embarking on becoming healthier, that they need to flip their diet upside down and start eating kale and avocados like they're going out of fashion. Mm-hmm. Like, I think just one thing just to help is just to make a few small tweaks to your diet. Like, don't try and go from 0 to 60 overnight. Like, no matter what you're eating, you can make a few tweaks. Like, if you're drinking a can of Coke a day, switch it to a Diet Coke. If you're, I don't know, eating full fat mints for dinner, switch that around for like a leaner mints. Like, they're small tweaks where you're not really changing a lot in your diet, you're not flipping things upside down, but it's going to help reduce some calories, which ultimately is going to help you get some weight loss if that's your goal. Don't try and think you need to start eating all of these juices and smoothies and start buying 10 packs of kale a week. Like, nobody really enjoys kale, I don't think. One or two people might.
That's weird, though.
James is there saying, I've eaten kale 5 times a day, 7 days straight for 10 years.
I love it.
You know, you love it because you actually enjoy it, right?
Exactly. If I hated it, like, my fiance's not here, but if she was here, you put a bowl of soup in front of me, I will chuck it back at your face.
Exactly. Like, some people eat kale knowing that they hate it, but because they've seen it on the front of health magazines, that they feel like they need to eat it to be healthy.
It's the new superfood, isn't it?
There's always a new superfood. Bloody week.
Superfood.
Bloody magic.
Chris, you know, James, you might have watched this, but I know Chris does. You know the Russell Kane videos?
Oh my, yeah.
When he talks about the cow.
That is hilarious. Did he do one with avocado?
Yeah, he done one with avocado and cow, and he was talking about like people just eating cow to get a shiny belly. So maybe it's just you to eat cow to get a shiny head, mate.
That is what I'm doing. How do you know?
I can see it glistening in the light.
Good light flex.
Thing is, it's kind of like splitting off here, and then look at these little horn things. I look like Hellboy.
Brilliant. They look good. They look good. Put them off well.
You have to shave it off.
My second point. So you said try not to do everything at once. I would say, be accountable for your own shit. Like, be accountable of your own actions and think about the consequences. Like, only you are putting that fucking food in your mouth. No one else. Yeah. No one's, like, force-feeding you, tying you to a chair and going, eat this or we're going to shoot your nan. Like,
you'd
no
probably
one's doing
enjoy
that,
though, if someone tied you to a chair and asked you to eat.
Yeah, I would. But I'm an exception.
That's your Saturday night. Sorted.
But the thing is, most personal trainers would. They'd be like, just tie me. I'll eat it. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But of course, on Instagram, it doesn't show that.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And it shows squeaky foreheads with cow.
Squeaky thing.
I bet you've got us on now.
Yeah, so just like be accountable. Like, I was like, you watch people and you're like, do you have to eat that? Like, me and Chris, we had a lot of fucking pastry this morning.
Not loads, one and a half.
Yeah, but it's more than usual. I also had toasted that. And we're like, we both sat there and was like, right, no lunch today, just dinner. And we're like, yeah, done. Like, but people are like, oh my God, like, I feel so fat. Well, no shit. Because you're ramming fucking donuts with X amount of other shit you're eating, yet you're moaning about it. Yet you know deep down that you have to cut it down. And, you know, and this is where it gets a bit mixed, because people think, well, if I'm eating all this, this is what's... People know, right, that that's the shit that is making them overweight and, you know, unhealthy, right? But they think that they have to go... So this is backtracking onto what Chris said, that they have to go to here and cut it all out, and then they're reverting back. But it's not... All you have to do is take one small step. Like, if you're going out for dinner, do you have to have chocolate fudge cake and ice cream with a milkshake, or can you have chocolate fudge cake and a milkshake? Like, you know, you've taken the ice cream out, for example. Like, it's just simple shit like that. Be accountable, you know. Yes, it is fucking hard. And also, what, like, this comes into it. Like, you're going to be fucking hungry. Dieting will make you hungry. Yeah. If you go into dieting thinking that you have to be full all the time, you're going to fail. You're going to fall flat on your ass, and you're going to slide into fucking cow shit. Like, seriously, you're going to be hungry. And I'll tell you what, I'm dieting without actually tracking my calories. Mm-hmm. And last week, I was fucking hungry.
Yeah.
I'm really hungry. And I know that. But I know that this week, my weight's going to be a little healthier. Am I going, oh, shit, like, I'm overweight, like, I'll give up? And I'm just like, no, just chill. Like, it will come back down. But, yeah, hopefully that makes sense.
And one more each, to one see more. If you can get one out.
One more. That's fine. I thought about this whilst you're talking. It ties into accountability. So even if you're like accountable for your actions, I think one thing that's useful, and we do it with our clients and bootcamp members, is reflecting on your week. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have to do it on a Sunday. You could do it on whatever fucking day you want. It doesn't matter. But on a Sunday or a Monday is usually kind of a good place for most people to start. And just thinking, all right, what's gone well this week? Right, I've hit my steps daily. That was brilliant. I've kept my calories in check because I haven't had a weekend bender like I usually do. And you know what? I've actually eaten some veg this week, so it's been a pretty good week. Oh, great. I'll keep doing those things next week. And maybe I'll start thinking about my water intake next week. Like, if you reflect on your week, you're understanding what you're doing. Because I think a lot of people do stuff without realizing it. And as soon as you start reflecting on your week and thinking about what's gone well, what hasn't gone well, you can then kind of figure out where you need to improve the next week. So that will probably be my last and final point in terms of what people can do.
Yeah. And Brad?
I got two here.
Oh, greedy,
number
man.
Number one. Two, okay, I'm going to go for this one. A little bit like softer. And this is a common thing we see, right? And this is in relations to parents. Is stop eating your fucking kids' food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, seriously, like, and I get it, right? You're, and this is how it all correlates to each other. You've cut your food out, and you are now on squeaky fucking kale with chicken and some rice, right? So,
sorry, James, like, you love my kale.
I hate kale.
So you're there eating it. Now, you know that your child is going to look at that and go, fuck that, mum, I want something else, right?
Where's my
so
chicken
you
dippers?
make them exactly chicken dippers with some peas and some chips, for example. Or, you know, you just mash and whatever, right? And you're there going, oh, wish I could fucking eat that. And you're craving it because you haven't had no chocolate, no crisps. You haven't had nothing that you usually eat. you're tired, and so your daughter, son, doesn't finish it, and they're like, I'm finished, mummy, and you take it into the kitchen, turn around, like a fucking addict on coke, fucking down in it. Like, but because they think it's only a couple of chicken nuggets, like, they think, oh, it'll be fine. It's just chicken. No, that's the problem. That is one of the problems. And I think we need to understand that, you know, dieting doesn't mean you're completely getting rid of the foods forever. And I think a lot of people panic. They go, I'm never going to be able to have a takeaway again. It's like, no, you can. Like, you just need to cut down a little bit now, like, a bit more than usual. And then when you get to where you want to be, you just have it in moderation.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and again, I always say to people, if you're taking from step one, calories are important. So if your usual food is eating chicken nuggets, have the chicken nuggets, but instead of eating them with the piles of chips, reduce your portion of chips and add more peas in, for example. Done. Like, you still have that satisfaction. And also, it stops you from putting yourself in a situation at home where you're having to make yourself different dinners.
That's just awkward.
And that's a big thing, you know. Like, I remember when I was living at home, my sister didn't eat anything, and like, my old man was the worst fucking person for food. Like, if it had any bit of spice in it, he was like, what have you done to that fucking, I've made it taste nice. But you end up making like loads of different meals. So if you can incorporate your child's meals to what you're having, you're a big step ahead of the game than a lot of other parents. And just try, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, your whole chicken and whatnot. It just has to be what suits your lifestyle. And I'll tell you what, you can lose weight on eating chicken nuggets, because I've done it before.
And I'll do it again.
Supersize me.
I'll do it again.
And I'll do it until there's no more chicken nuggets.
Supersize me.
Cow nuggets.
So, don't they do beef nuggets?
I think they would fall apart.
Yeah.
Well, sounds like a challenge.
Oh, God, he's going to make it.
Yes.
So, why not? To round this off, before we go in, you start telling them telling people how to find you. Tell us one odd fact that no one would know about you.
We literally did this like yesterday. Odd facts.
One odd fact.
Right, I'm gonna have to. Do you want to go first? Because I need to think.
I do. Can it be what we spoke about? Because
it can be what we want. Yeah.
But Chris, maybe go with your own thing again.
Okay, so yeah, I guess a lot of people might not listen to that episode anyway, because that's quite specific to go back and listen to. All right, so an odd fact of mine. So did you ever as a kid used to have those like cupcake pre-made boxes where like it was Dennis the Menace or like Disney character one, where you'd make like the cupcake and you'd have like a little cool like sticker that you'd put on the top that was edible?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah? So as a kid, I remember making these. I can't remember which one they were. Probably Dennis the Menace. That was like one of the classic ones.
Oh, right? Dennis Menace, lad.
And I had the cupcake and it had a little thick one. So I was like, oh, Mum, can I eat the whole thing? She goes, yeah, you can. You can eat all of it. So I said, oh, cool. She must have walked in the next room, or I walked in the next room myself. I don't know. We're in separate rooms. I'm there eating it away. This is quite good. Nice cupcake. Pretty good. She walks in next thing. It's like, Chris, what are you doing? You can't eat the casing. I'm like, well, you said I could eat everything. Like, don't tell me everything if I can't eat the casing of the cupcake. That's a random but stupid fact of my childhood. Eating cupcake casings.
See, I've got two things. Not many people know this, and this is a little bit different what we went over. So I just magically found this. So think a bit, shall I say. So do you remember, like, what's the years with, like, is it like nursery or something? Like, yeah, it's like nursery reception. So I was in like nursery, I think it's nursery. And so this just shows I was a fucking naughty kid from day one, right? So we're on like lunchtime, playtime, anything. Anyway, so somehow managed to get into a game with some girls. Kiss Chase, right? As a kid.
He's been playing it for years.
So, we we're all in the playground, and we had this what's those little wooden hut things there? It was like a dollhouse or something.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know what you're about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you know those, like, anyway, we had one of them. So the rules were, if you go into the shed, you can't be cool. And anyway, so chasing this girl around the thing, and she's run into the thing, and literally she's run into this door, gone into the hut, and I was fuming. I was like, "You're mine." So do you know what I did? I punched the fucking window, smashed it, right? Smashed it. Bear just cracked it, and then I was the only person to ever in nursery get excluded. I got excluded in nursery. Like, they left me outside all day, facing the corner wall. They were like, "Go in there, you're naughty." outside all day.
I hope it rains.
Well, luckily it didn't. When my mum found out, she was furious. She goes, "Left my son outside all day." And I was like, "Yeah, but mum, I did smash the window at like the age of 3 or 4."
How desperate were you to get this girl?
Very, by the sounds of it. Willing to go through the fucking window.
That's true love, that is.
Come here!
You know, like he's Johnny and he fucking cracks through the door.
Here comes Bradley!
Oh, God. Oh, God. What about you, James?
Oh, God.
You knew it was coming.
So I've got two. So linking on to that one, I have been put before. Again, I was a bit of a naughty shit in school. I was excluded from the exclusion room.
Nice.
Yeah.
How though? Why?
Threatened a teacher to get in there, and then threatened another teacher to get out of there. Worked really well.
If you don't let me out, I'll fucking kill you.
And the second one was all because the teacher wouldn't allow us to turn the heating on.
Oh, wow.
He was like, "It's freezing." It was so cold. It was winter, but he had all the computers down his end. So he's like, he's got all the computers, so they were really warm at the front, and we were all sat at the back. And I was like, "Look, sir, nicely." I was like, "Can you please just turn the radiator on? Because it's freezing, mate." And he was like, "No." I was like, "Seriously, it's freezing up here. Like, blazer on the lot. It is so cold." And he's like, "Nah." And I was like, So I've got up and gone around the room and gone, "Are you cold? Are you cold?" Of course, these kids are like year 8. So they're already, I'm year 10, year 11. So they're like, yeah, it's freezing. So yeah, you fucking better say yeah, mate. And I've just turned the heating on. So he's come down. I was like, "Nah, you need to go sit back down, mate. So, like, it's not a good idea for you to be here. Go sit down.
Sit yourself down, son.
Yeah. So he's called up the headmaster. And then second fact is, you never know it looking at me, and everyone at a hotel is shocked, I'm actually quarter Indian.
I knew it.
Surprised.
Yeah.
I knew it.
No, you didn't.
I'm quarter Indian. My nan is from Calcutta. In India. That shocked you, didn't it?
That did.
It did. That's interesting.
That turned up for the books.
So don't get me wrong, I've never been there, so.
Never visited, but I am.
Yeah, but I'm quite Indian, so actually, a lot of people do say I'm the whitest Indian they've ever met. That's how I roll.
I definitely agree with that.
Most skinny.
You make a good curry, though, that's the question.
Nah, Mrs. makes that for me.
Well, maybe she's the Indian.
Yeah.
Not you.
She's got a better...
Maybe she is actually Indian.
She's got a better tan as well. I can't call her my girlfriend, can I? She's my fiance. She'll shoot me if she insists.
There you go. Yeah, she... Women get so offended by that. Like, "No, get it right!"
Literally. To be fair, I think I'm the bitch of the relationship then, because I say it to her. So I'm your fiance. I ain't your boyfriend. Shut up. I'm your fiance, mate.
I don't know who you are.
Yeah. So let's finish it off. How can people find you if you want to give your own plugs and or your own social medias and then the overall social media for Eat, Lift, Lose or whatever you want to do? How can people find out more about you and your podcast? Because we know, well, you've had me on there and this is how this come around. So promote your podcast as well. Push it out there.
Firstly, you probably don't want to come and find us.
Now they're going to say,
"Don't play yourself down that quickly, jeez."
No, Chris, Let him have it. Go on.
Let him have it. Right. If you want to come stalk me on my lonesome without Brad's, you can find me on Vel Fitness. That's V-E-L-E. And then fitness. And that's on Instagram, Facebook, occasionally Twitter. So you can kind of find me over there. And yourself, Brad?
So you can find me over at Bradley G Fitness. Mm-hmm. I'm on all social media. Instagram, the lot.
Cool. And how can they find out more about Eat Lift Lose?
And then if you want to find out about Eat Lift Lose, again, all social media, Facebook, Instagram, occasionally the odd tweet here and there. Mm-hmm. That's simply Eat Lift Lose. All one word, no dashes, no hyphens, no fancy characters. Keep it nice and simple.
And then on there, so we have got our podcast, so the Eat Lift Lose Show. So come and have a look. We've recently just started doing something a little bit different with our podcast. So every week we're going to have a new guest. We're yet to regret that yet. It's going good so far.
We're only about 3 weeks in.
Only 3 weeks in, and we're going strong. So yeah, come and check that out. It'd be good for you guys to have listened to something new. I always like to listen to different podcasts. It's good to see other people's opinions on and views on stuff. So yeah, come and say hello as well. Got follow us, and if you do listen to if you've ever been listening to James's podcast for a while, come say hello to us, and it'll be good. And yeah, have a listen to the podcast with James on, and as he talks about his dodgy coffee.
It's a good listen.
I still don't know what was in that coffee.
I don't think coffee.
To be fair, it wasn't even liquid.
Yeah. To be fair, I don't even think I looked in. I just drank it. So
there you go,
guys. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast with Brad and Chris on from Eat Lift Lose. Go check them out, and I shall see you, or well, I won't see you. You will hear from me very, very soon, where I will possibly go through mindset next on the next podcast. So hope everyone enjoyed. See you later. Everyone from Chris and Brad.
See you later, guys. Take care.
Peace, guys and girls. See you later.